Hello and welcome back to today's Heartlift, part two of my conversation with Paige Allen, author of He Knows Your Name, How Seven Nameless Women of the Bible Reveal Christ's Love for You. In part two, we're picking up where we left off. Paige had shared how in a wintering rose garden, she heard God call her by a new name, daughter. I hope this has been as meaningful to you as it has been to me in this season of life, this wintering season for me personally. And we're asking ourselves, how might our life be different when we wake up every morning if we really possessed that inheritance of being a daughter of God? Welcome, Paige, back.
After you received that anointing, like a just I'm there with you, the sobriety of that, the weight of that, the joy of that, where did that go? How did that unfold for you? Because I'm sure that you've been writing this book for years and didn't know it, and that seems to be part of it. So How did that change your perception? We're talking a lot about perception,
right? Well, I think definitely coming to this realization that at my core, I'm his daughter. Daughter, that word, that identity, it has belonging in it.
Yes.
You know, that you belong, like you are mine. Mm. For me, I was a natural performer. I'm an Enneagram 3. If you're on the Enneagram.
Oh boy, I'm a 2 with a strong okay. 3 wing when I'm unhealthy.
Yes, and so he really began to show me that I only felt seen and loved when I was performing and getting the accolades of people. And
wow.
So could I know that I have great worth simply because I belong to him?
How do we do this, Paige? Our culture, in our world, in the Christian culture. That is why women feel invisible. That's why they feel hidden. These beautiful words that you're giving us, you know, nameless. They're hard words to swallow. And I'm with you. It is the bottom central theme is I feel invisible. I probably have heard that more under everyone's story is I am not seen. I'm not heard. I am not known. I'm not loved, and you're adding to how I'm going to move forward in my work with people with secure attachment and in my own life, named. I am named, therefore I'm seen and heard and known and loved and belong.
Yes.
Because I'm named. Mm-hmm. I think you have added an explosive, like this should be known all over the world. This book should be in every hand. Because when we know what's in our name, daughter,
yes,
perception changes.
It does. It really, I really think if it gets, it gets to the core of who we are, it changes everything. It changes our relationship with others. It changes our relationship with God. It changes the way we work. Mm-hmm. It changes the way we behave. It changes the way we parent. It can change everything.
And grandparent now for me. Yes. It's like, okay, now I'm just carrying all of this into and onto my grandchildren, which I had seen in women, but now I'm there. Mm-hmm. So I do think that sitting with the sensation, the feeling, the truth, it's a truth that I am indeed a daughter of my Heavenly Father. It does, like for me, I'm a performer and I'm in an industry that really requires performance because performance increases numbers and that seems to really matter. And then I'm not going to get more work in the public eye or published if I don't have the numbers, if I don't have this or that or the other. How then?
I was going to say, but it's hard. It's almost
hard.
A rediscovery. I mean, I had that moment.
Ooh, I like that word.
Mm-hmm. I had that moment over 20 years ago.
Ooh.
But probably, you know, every other week, Lord is like, hey, Paige, hey,
Well, and you're on the stage. I mean, you are, come on, you are on the stage, and pastors have a lot of pressure and all of that. That is a whole nother conversation. But I do just want to continue to pause in this particular conversation. Perhaps we'll have more about what's in a name. Why did you choose these particular women? I'm very curious. And I feel like I want to tell them what those women, who these women are, but I kind of want them to have to get the book and do it. But I don't know. I'll let you choose. And
okay.
We can go there.
Okay. I decided to focus on the Gospels. And so these are these are the seven nameless women that have face-to-face encounters with Jesus.
Oh, keep going. I love it.
And so as I was studying, there's some great ones in the Old Testament as well, but I felt like these women, when they encountered him, their lives radically changed.
They did.
And because we're talking about daughter, I'm going to just tell you about the first one, because it does revolve around daughter.
Stop in the name of love.
Yes. Yeah, stop in the name of love is the lady that we have labeled the woman with the issue of blood. And what's so fascinating as I began to study her story is that her story is a story within a story, because the narrative begins with a man whose name is recorded, Jairus, that comes to Jesus asking him to come heal his daughter.
Right.
Daughter. And so Jesus is on his way to go heal this little girl. When the woman with the issue of blood, she comes on the scene, and we know her story where she's, you know, determined in her heart, if I can just touch his hem, I will be healed. And she shouldn't have been there. I mean, she was technically ceremonially uncleaned.
Yes.
And she should not have been there. Every person that she touched, they were then unclean. And yet she was
groveling, desperate, crawling. Yes.
Crawling. She gets through. She touches the hem of his garment, and she knows she's healed immediately. And you get this picture as you begin to read it, that then she's like, okay, I got it. I'm getting out of here, because I don't want for people to be upset that I've broken law. I have, you know, but Jesus stops. He stops in the name of love. And he says, who touched me?
He felt it. The energy went out of him.
Oh. Yeah. And here's the thing. She had already gotten what she wanted. Like, she got what she thought she needed. But I think he stops because he knows she needs more. Like, she needs physical healing, but she also needs emotional healing, soul level healing. And then she also needs, in front of everyone, her community, she needs someone to say she belongs. You can bring her back in. But what I realized is, when all of this happens, Jairus is still right there. Like, she is literally in the shadows of a good father.
Oh.
And if you know enough about the culture of that time, there was no man with her.
No. I've really never heard that point brought out.
Yeah. There was no man fighting for her.
No.
And Jesus stops. Like, we see a good father fighting for his daughter, and then we see a woman who has to fight for herself.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And I think that there are a lot of women that are going to that relate to that when you understand that. And then here's the thing. The first, when she finally she says, okay, here's what happened. And then it records the first words out of Jesus's lips are daughter. Oh. He looks at her and he says, daughter. Your faith has made you well.
I know.
And it's the only time that Jesus calls someone daughter.
Well, you know, this is what I love about the Word of God. It's what I love about his people, that none of us have the whole conversation. So I just celebrated 44 years of giving my life to follow the ways of Jesus as a senior in college. 44 years.
That's amazing.
I am not this old. Who is this woman? And I can tell you, I've not ever been privy to that perspective.
Yeah.
Well, I've heard him call her daughter. Your faith has made you whole. Mm-hmm. But to know that Jairus, as I would say, but I think
you're right.
No, I think you're probably saying it right, was in the shadows.
Yes. Yes. And he's named.
He is.
And he was well known. Like, so if you back in that time, sometimes they would specifically like pair stories together when they were telling stories orally so that you would compare and contrast.
Yeah.
And so if you just stop and you compare and contrast, mm-hmm. so different. And yet Jesus says, hey, I know you don't think you have a man in your corner, but you have me. And I'm saying you're mine. You're my daughter. I will fight for you. And mm-hmm. and also I will make you uncomfortable in this moment. You're uncomfortable, yes. but it's for
you can't run.
Purpose.
That's you can't right. Flee. There's, you, that's, I mean, I know those of us who have insecure attachment, if we get into that, one of our go-tos is I'm going to run. I got to run. Mm-hmm. I can't do this. I can't do love. Mm-hmm. I can't do belonging. I don't know what that feels like. And it makes me feel so uncomfortable. So Heartlifters, I just want you to take a few moments, not if you're driving, but take a few moments and allow yourself to be placed in that reading, a little Lectio Divina, where you put yourself in the reading of this beautiful passage and see where you are. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe you're Jairus's daughter. You know, maybe you do really feel so desperately alone and unseen. And you need a Jesus encounter. So that's what we want. I just want you to do what Paige did. You imaged for us, Paige. And this is a very common thread in our community here. Go find somewhere. Find somewhere to just sit and open your hands, your heart, and receive. You don't have to say a whole lot, but just receive. Paige, you were struggling and wrestling with a new name. And what you got there was your true name.
Yes.
Daughter. I mean, I just can't get past that. I'm so sorry.
No. It's profound. It is.
It's so profound. It is really timely in my own life and profound.
A reading from Matthew 9, beginning verse 9. Later, Jesus was walking along, and he saw a man named Matthew sitting in the tax collector's office. Jesus said, "Follow me." Matthew got up and followed him. Once, when he ate a meal at home with his disciples, a whole host of tax collectors and other sinners joined him. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked Jesus' disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus, overhearing this, says, "Look, who needs a doctor, healthy people or sick people? I'm not here to attend to people who are already right with God. I am here to attend to sinners. In the book of the prophet Hosea, we read, 'It is not sacrifice I want, but mercy.' Go, meditate on that for a while. Maybe you'll come to understand it." And then some of the disciples of John came. "What's the story with fasting? We fast and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast." And Jesus says, "When you celebrate, as at a wedding when one's dearest friend is getting married, you do not fast. The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. Then my friends and followers will fast. You would begin by washing and shrinking a patch you would use to mend a garment. Otherwise, the patch would shrink later, pull away from the garment, and make the original tear even worse. You wouldn't pour new wine into old wineskins. If you did, the skins would burst, the wine would run out, and the wineskins would be ruined. No, no, Jesus says. You would pour new wine into new wineskins, and both the wine and the wineskins would be preserved." As he was saying these things, a certain official came before Jesus and knelt in front of him. The official says, and this is Jairus, "My daughter just died. Would you come and lay your hands on her? Then I know she would live again." Verse 19. Jesus got up, and he and his disciples went with the man. But
as they were heading to the man's house, a woman who had been hemorrhaging and bleeding for 12 years, crept up behind Jesus. She evidently believes that if she so much as touches the fringes of his cloak, she will be healed. So she came up behind him and touched his cloak. Jesus turned around and saw her. "Take heart, daughter. Your faith has healed you." Take heart, my daughter. Your faith has healed you. And indeed, from that moment, the woman was healed. Then Jesus went to the official's house. He saw flute players and mourners, and he said to them, "Go away and do your ministering somewhere else. This girl is not dead. She is merely asleep." The crowd, who knew with certainty that the girl was dead, laughed at him. But they obeyed him and left the house, and once they were gone, Jesus went to the girl. When he took her hand, she opened her eyes and stood up. When the crowds outside learned that the girl was indeed alive, they spread throughout the town and the surrounding country, telling everyone what had happened. This, Heartlifters, is the word of the Lord. Maybe take a listen for a second time and see what speaks to you the second time you listen.
So this woman reaches, that's what you say, and I love that. And one of my favorite, our family quote is, you know, if your reach does not exceed your grasp, then what's a heaven for? Mm. So in this woman's story, she's reaching and touching and receiving. I love that.
Yeah.
Okay. It's hard to move past that. I'm going to be honest.
I know. I don't even remember what we were talking about before.
I don't either, because I really went into that moment because I need to receive and really
understand.
Well,
I felt it. I felt like I needed to tell you that specific story because, yeah, he's just doing
the story I have written down I want to know about.
With the name daughter. So, yes. Okay.
Yes. Okay.
Well, I can tell you about another story if you want to know about another one. Yes.
I do. I'm going to let you choose because I just, the Holy Spirit's here and moving and it's beautiful. So as we're talking about daughter and we're talking about really understand knowing, because you say this, we are known only as we know him. Which other nameless woman might be calling out our name today?
You know, I'm trying to
it's
decide.
It's hard because
it
are,
is so hard. There's some, they're all.
Okay,
they're,
I'm going to just say what
okay.
I really wanted to know about make a name for yourself, because I think we're in a culture, even in a church culture. And I am privy to have held a lot of confidential stories, right? Because that's what I do. And I can't break HIPAA and all that. But I can bring to the table that most women feel like, if they're not on the stage in the Christian culture, not all women, of course, but it is, if you're not an influencer, if you're not on Instagram, oh gosh, nobody leaves a comment on my Instagram or my Facebook. I hear that a lot. I hear it personally. You didn't answer. You didn't comment. I'm like, because I'm not on Facebook. Like, it might look like I am because my Instagram goes immediately to Facebook, but I don't spend time on Facebook. Even though that's where all the women of my age usually are, but it just takes a lot of energy. So why do you think, I'm really putting you on the spot here, but why do you think we have this compulsion or drive, and some of us more than others, to make a name for ourselves?
I think it's a lot of what you said. I think it's what our culture teaches us constantly. Yeah. When I say culture, I mean all of culture, church culture.
Everything, like, all around the world. And it's international. I've spoken internationally. It's not uncommon. The same thread runs through. I spoke at an international women's conference, 21 different nationalities.
Yes.
And the theme was the same in any language. Mm-hmm. I'm mm-hmm. not seen.
Right.
I'm invisible.
Yeah. We've created this system where system. Value is connected to, yeah, to quote unquote being seen to, and now, I mean, what it looks like literally today, it is, especially with social media, it is likes and comments and numbers and, you know, even, and we're in the same field, you know, when I first pitched this book, I first pitched it 9 years ago and the comment was, love this idea. We really like you. No one knows your name. And I was like, well, that's the whole point of the book.
Did they really say that? Oh, that's so appropriate.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
And that knocked me down though.
Oh, of course.
I wasn't secure at that point to, I just said, fine, I'll just totally set it on a shelf. In hindsight, the Lord and his, I'm so thankful it didn't come out 9 years
ago. Of course. Yeah. I love hindsight. She's our best friend.
Oh, it's a different book for sure than it would have been. It really knocked me down. And how?
Like, what did it do to you? Because I always preface to heartlifters that they may not be someone aspiring to write a book, but they are someone aspiring to be known or seen in their neighborhood, or you fill in the blank. Just this need to be affirmed, this need to be approved, to be accepted. Mm-hmm. So how, when that knocked you down, was it just questioning your self-worth, your value?
I think it was a little bit of my self-worth. I also think it was really, I really wrestled with, okay, wait, I really think the Lord asked me to write this book.
To do this thing.
Mm-hmm. But how do there was a brief season where I was like, forget the system. You know, I kind of, I went both ways.
Well, you're an Enneagram 3. So I am. You're going to be like,
There was about 6 months where I was like, okay, I'm going to do all the things.
I'm going to fight back
and I'm going to show you, and I'm going to grow. I'm going to do all of that.
There it is. I'm going to show you.
Mm-hmm. And nothing happened. I didn't get the numbers were not great. So then I went to the other extreme and said, well, forget it. This is corrupt. Yep. I don't want anything to do with it.
Uh-huh.
And it took me a couple of years, and the Lord finally kind of, and just would not let this idea leave me.
Good. Okay.
And like every time I would be quiet and receive, he would say, hey, what are we doing with the book? And I would kind of say, it's on the shelf. Nobody wants it because they don't know my name. And he said, well, I know your name. And why don't we just work on it a little more today? And I really had to come to the place where I really was at the place of, I will work on this today, knowing no one's going to see it. And he really finally said, can you just be obedient to what I'm asking you to do? Even if it never goes where you think it should.
Paige, so good. Your name means obedient spirit.
It does, yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't until I surrendered and got to that place of like, yes, I'm just going to, because yes, it was being obedient. It was writing this book. It was also, that was how I was growing with him. Like he was teaching me and speaking to me. And I began to see like, oh, this is how we're connecting, you know?
It's delicious. I love it. It's hard. I hate it. Those things. But when you look back, when hindsight holds your hand and goes,
oh, yes,
you would not be you at all. And, but you know what? I'm sensing this to be a really pivotal conversation for women. Because what I'm sensing is, what would change, first of all, if we really received our name daughter and all that comes with it, and we carve out a season, because this is where I'm sitting in my own life again, a season, it's Lent, you know, this may be published post-Lent, but carving out a season, 40 days, 7 days, however many days people want to choose, to receive in that quiet place his pouring over you individually that you are my daughter. Again, you may know it, but it's always going to be a deeper level as we climb the mountain closer to Christ. And then be able to wake up every day. This is what's coming to me. Mm-hmm. Waking up, eyes wake up, because I'm just right here. I don't really want to get out of bed. Mm-hmm. It's winter. I'm cozy. I love my blanket, soft. And I like today, I just didn't want to get out of bed because I don't really know what to do. And what if we woke up, opened our eyes? I am your daughter. Mm-hmm. I'm your daughter, and I really want to get to know you, Father. And so today I'm going to wake up and know that my one and only goal and one and only purpose is to get to know you more. And everywhere my hand goes today, whether it's at the grocery store, whether it's picking up the kids, whether it's for me the other day, it was a happenstance, serendipitous 45-minute conversation with a framer at a local hobby store. And she needed to talk, this young 20-something lovely girl. And I just asked one question, and 45 minutes later, no customers came, nobody interrupted us. I didn't have an agenda for my day, but God did.
Yeah.
And at the end of the conversation, she was like, thank you for listening to me. Yeah. And I was able to say it really was my pleasure. I didn't get paid for it because that's what I get paid for. I get paid to listen to people. Took an hour. Then we got to my project that needed framing. Mm-hmm. So 2 hours, really. But I just wonder. And I left that store. The sliding doors opened. I walked out and I went, yeah, this is the next stage of my life. Mm. This was kind of cool, God. I didn't get paid, but you'll pay me. You'll take care of that envelope where I like to have my 20s. You know, yes. It's like, does that resonate with you? Those moments of invisibility? Nobody saw that. Nobody's going to know about it. Okay, I did just share it, but I didn't intend to, but I think it's appropriate because I am purposing right now in my life to find out where my next season's going. But in the meantime, maybe my next season is exactly where I'm at and just taking the moments of my day as my critical, beautiful unfolding of my calling. I don't know. Does that make any sense? Am I just rambling?
No, it makes complete sense. I do. I think the Lord is constantly asking, am I enough for you? And what I have planned for you, is that enough? Mm-hmm.
Okay, Heartlifter. Whoo, wow. I have to stop here. I just have to. We're going to have a part three because I feel deep in my bones, down in my spirit, that this whole beautiful message from Paige about daughter is perhaps the unfolding of even my own Lenten message. As I said in part one, I wanted to create, I have it on 3 or 4 to-do list. Map out your 40-day Lenten plan. Map it out, Janelle. And every time I would be finished with the list, that would be the one thing left. And then the next day I'd make a list and I would not get to that. And then the next day I'd make a list and I wouldn't get to it again. And I just didn't have it. It wasn't happening and I would have been forcing it. And that's exactly the season I'm in, is to not force, to not have this drivenness, this striving. Oh my goodness, I've been trying to find my way past that forever. And here, God provides this beautiful book and message by Paige. And I think understanding this position of daughter is what he's trying to say. She says in this beautiful conversation, God says, daughter, that word, it has identity in it. It has belonging. It means you belong. I have great worth because I simply belong to God. I am God's daughter. I am his child. When we know what is behind that position, Ephesians 1 talks so much about our inheritance, our spiritual inheritance. So when we can receive, like the woman with the issue of blood, take heart, daughter. When we know what is behind that position, that place in God's family, daughter of God, perception changes. And I'm just going to say, how? How is it changing your perception? You know I want to know. I don't want to be the only one here that's going, wow. You know, this woman with the issue of blood who's ceremonially unclean, Jairus is in the shadows. His daughter is dead at home. Oh my goodness. When you listened to the Lexio reading, what whispers did you hear? And now for our second lean in, our second prompt, what would change in our lives if we really received our name and place as daughter and all that comes with it? What if we carved out just a season? Okay, you busy mamas, maybe 5 minutes in the bathroom, you know? What would change if we really got quiet and really received with two open hands and open heart, open ears, open eyes, everything open to God, the name daughter? I want you just to spend some time with that. Once again, please, please, Heartlifters, will you join me over at Substack, Heartlift Central? This is where I'm putting all of my energy and time. I've shared this months ago that we were moving from our online Facebook community to this new platform called Substack. No need to fear it. It's safe. It's as safe as any online platform. But this is where I will be hanging out. Yes, I'm on Instagram, but for a more complete conversation where you can ask me questions, where I can respond to you in our little community. And yes, then there is a subscription, a paid subscription, where we will even get more in depth. It's not a lot. It's probably a few specialty coffees a year. It's just to help support the podcast first and foremost, and also to give us that space where we can find a little bit of online confidentiality. So hop over to Substack, Heartlift Central, please. I want to hear your thoughts. 2024, I want us to be a community where I hear from you and you hear from me. This is just not a one-woman conversation. Secondly, you can support this podcast and the other arms of publishing and online courses and scholarshipping of Heartlift International at www.JanelleRairdon.com/Heartlift-Central. Any donation is welcome and it's tax deductible. What a bonus as we approach tax season. Okay, I'll be waiting to hear, daughter, what you feel God is whispering to your heart.